This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Pets Aloud, Joy's very own show about pets. I'm Sam, and keeping me company in the studio this week is Sharon, Fundraising Administration Manager, and Kristen, Social Media Officer with the Lost Dogs Home. Sharon and Kristen, welcome to Pets Aloud.
Hi.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having us.
No worries. Sharon, you're pretty happy today with the cricket scores, I hear.
Yeah, that might be quite good for me.
Your accent doesn't give it away.
I was
going
to say, I'll try not to pronounce my accent too much. I don't want to rub any salt in the wounds. Okay. Well, we're often told how important it is to maintain good dental care and to make sure our teeth are very well maintained to keep us going into old age. But did you know that our faithful friends out there need to have regular dental checks as well?
Failure to monitor your cat's or dog's teeth can not only lead to damaged teeth, but down the track, untreated dental issues can lead to more serious problems relating to your pet's heart, liver, and kidneys.
But for some good news, August is Pet Dental Health Month, and to mark the beginning of the month, we're jumping into that dental chair, and today we'll be talking to you about how you can best look after your pet's precious teeth for the whole year round.
So today we want to hear from you and whether or not you take the time to care for your pet's teeth, and if you do, what type of routine do you have for your pet?
Pets Aloud.
Also coming up on today's show, we're going to have a chat to Dr. L. Latch from the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, who's going to give us some tips on how we can care for our pets' teeth year round.
And of course, it's not all about the cats and dogs. We're also going to speak to veterinarian Dr. Lizzie Goldstraw about how we can look after the teeth of our smaller pets, including rabbits and guinea pigs.
Up next, we're going to get a bit of a recap on the news around the Lost Dogs Home from the past week.
The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
This is the part of Pets Aloud where we get a bit of a recap of what's happened around the Lost Dogs Home over the last week. And Kristen, I think you have the first story for us.
Absolutely. So last week, Sam and Alan had a chat with the Astor General Manager, Zach Hepburn, about the cinema's new resident, Duke. With his black and white fur tux and his handsome features, Duke has quickly claimed the hearts of the Astor Theatre staff and patrons as the new Astor Cat, following his adoption from the Lost Dogs Home in June. Duke is following in the paw prints of the much-loved tortoiseshell diva Marzipan, who sadly passed away in 2013 at the age of 21. From what we've seen, Duke certainly has some very big and much-loved paw prints to fill. With staff and management wanting to give him a name fitting of his new address, it was decided by manager Zach that this big guy with his confident swagger would be named after silver screen legend John Wayne, whose nickname was Duke. Even though Duke is still settling into his new surroundings, he's already greeting cafe goers and Astor regulars with his affectionate and welcoming nature. And from what Zach has told us, Duke is holding out his first movie experience and double feature at the Astor, and the staff are betting that he will be a big fan of Westerns. Duke's adoption by the Astor shows that cats don't just make great family pets, but they can make great pets for businesses as well. If you want to follow the adventures of Duke the Astor Cat, you can check out his Facebook page, which is called Duke the Astor Cat. And this week he has been helping staff unpack stock for the candy bar.
He's a bit of a cutie, Duke. You've definitely, if anyone hasn't had an opportunity to check him out on the Astor Facebook page or the Duke the Astor Cat Facebook page, definitely take the time to do it, because he is very formal looking. He is very much the theatre type of cat look about him.
He is. He kind of fits. You'd probably mistake him for an usher if you know.
Yeah, that's exactly looking the right. Other way. Yeah. I'm wondering if he's going to continue on one of the stories that Zach did tell us last week about Marzipan, was that she did have a knack of jumping on people's laps at a very opportune moments. So one story being that during a screening of The Poltergeist, she decided it would be a fantastic idea to jump on someone's lap. And yeah, that would have...
Yeah, it's, I can only imagine.
It's that cat's chaos. Intuition.
That's excellent. Yeah, only a cat.
Absolutely.
And talking of cats, you may have noticed that despite being August, and in theory the winter months coming towards an end, it's still extremely cold. I don't know about you, but I think winter's going to be here for a little while yet.
Freezing this week.
Isn't it just? And I know I'm English, I'm supposed to be used to the cold, but I know it really gets me down. This grey cold weather really doesn't do me any favours. And I bet I'm not the only one. I'm sure there's many of you out there suffering from the winter blues at the moment. The good news is, I'm a bearer of good news today, we might have the perfect prescription for you. We still have a number of adult cats that are looking for a brand new home this winter. And some of them have been waiting for the whole winter for their ideal person to come in and find them. And maybe you could be their person. And what I can tell you is that cats are a really good way to keep warm in these winter months.
Absolutely. They're a great snuggle buddies, there we go, snuggle buddies on the couch during the winter months. They just have this, I don't know, my cats last night were just like, we're going to seek out the warmth, and the warmth is my lap. So
exactly, and they're great. They're a fantastic hot water bottle. Just make sure you got the right color clothes to match the cat hair.
Black duvets.
Unless one of my cats is black.
Oh, well, so, then that blends in perfectly. So no white, I think, must be in your case. X-ray on the white. So the first cat that we featured this week as one of our prescription cats, and a big thank you to Amanda Smith, our cat cattery manager, for coming up with the prescription tagline, is Spark, who is a two-year-old domestic short-haired cross. Now, he does need a little bit of time to get to know you before his real personality does come through. However, once he is relaxed and comfortable, he's affectionate and playful, and really smoochy type of nature does come out. And he is a very handsome little boy, is Spark. So he's actually been up for adoption now for 90 days. So that's quite a fair amount of time, even for cats. That's a long time to be up for adoption.
It is. It's too long.
So, you know, this little man is needing a home, and he would be a great match for someone who's willing to give him the space, time and TLC that he needs to adjust to his new surroundings. But once he's there, he would be suited to a home where his new companions do enjoy active and grueling playtime sessions as much as he does. So he is very, very playful. So he's not well suited to a home with small children, but he is a very playful and affectionate cat.
So our second cat that we're going to profile today is Larry. He's also a two-year-old. He's a domestic medium hair cross, and he's quite adventurous in nature. And Sam, you and I met Larry earlier on this week and had a bit of time with him. And he loves to explore. There's always something new to check out. So he's happy to spend time curled up on your couch with the odd scratch under the chin. Larry has been waiting to find a new home for 58 days. He will make the perfect companion for someone who is looking for a cat who's just as happy to spend time doing their own thing, as well as having some company curled up on the couch together during these cold winter days.
And also waiting for 58 days, 58 days too long, I think, is Piglet, which I think is an awesome name. I'd like to introduce to you. Now, Piglet she's shy and affectionate, though, so very happy passing the day getting cuddles from whoever it is that's lucky enough to choose to love him. Would like a quiet home, so no loud children, or maybe if you're a particularly loud adult, it might not be the right cat for you, but someone who wants to enjoy the quiet life with a really lovely-looking boy. Now, I'm told he's not photogenic, so if you do look him up online and you don't think he looks that pretty, don't take him on photo value. Pop down and have a meet. He did come in with a facial injury, so he does still look a little messy on the top of his head, but I am told, sadly I haven't met him, but I will make sure I do very soon, that he's a beautiful boy who just wants a quiet, loving place to be.
Yeah, he's got a spunky little hairstyle, and yeah, definitely come in and view him rather than take his photo on face value, because he is quite a good-looking cat to have. And now we're going to drop the curtains on this week's Pet of the Week.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Now, Kristen, do you want to tell us a little bit about Ralph?
Absolutely. So this week's pet of the week is Ralph, a gorgeous Labrador mix. He's almost 5 years old and he's just a big sweetheart who has so much love to give. Now, he was a bit unsure of the world when he first came into the shelter, but with gentle training, he has become such a more confident and happy boy. Ralph is looking for a new owner who can continue his training. He's really active and smart, so he will need lots of things to do in his new home to keep him busy. Ralph is best suited to an adult home as he might be a little bit too bouncy and excitable for kids. He may also be happy sharing his house with a similar sized dog who he can play with and have some fun with. If you want to learn more about Ralph, you can check out his profile at dogshome.com. His ID number is 949749. He is up for adoption at the Lost Dogs Home North Melbourne shelter, which is at 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne.
Yeah, so definitely come down this weekend and ignore the gloomy overcast weather and perhaps come and check Ralph out. Now, before we keep going, we did actually get an email through from Mark, who does Escape Pods on Saturdays, and he actually sent us an email to let us know that he got Tyson, who he renamed Hugo, from the Lost Dogs Home a couple of weeks ago, and apparently Hugo has settled into a home beautifully and makes his apartment a home. And Mark said that he can't recommend more highly finding a new friend from the Lost Dogs Home. It was a great experience and there are great cats and dogs ready to go home. So you can't ask for a better email than
wonderful.
That.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for sending that in, Mark, and congratulations. I never ever get over the excitement of a new human and pet meeting.
Definitely a shout out that shelter pets make great pets. Now, does your dog have smelly breath? Perhaps your cat has a dark red line along her gums. These can be signs that your pet might actually have some serious dental issues. Coming up, we're going to have a chat to Dr. L. Latch from the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic on what we need to do to keep our pets' teeth in the best condition. This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd.
4 out of every 5 cats and dogs over the age of 3 years will have some sort of dental disease, which can become more severe with age.
Now, this could become a real problem for pet owners as mental dental issues can develop into more serious conditions if left untreated. In fact, untreated dental conditions can lead to more serious problems related to your pet's heart, liver, and kidneys.
By taking steps to regularly brush and check our pet's mouth and teeth, we can help minimise the chance of our pet developing more serious conditions in the long term.
So joining us to talk about how we can best care for our pet's teeth is Dr. L. Latch, veterinarian at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. L, welcome back to Pets Allowed.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's very good, and I know we're going to get some good advice from you. So can I just start by asking how often we should check our pet's mouth to see if there are any issues with their teeth?
I think generally monthly is a good regularity. That way, you know, if things are changing, you should pick up on it quite soon. And also you shouldn't be annoying your pets too much by checking monthly. So, yeah, that's a good amount of time.
And what signs should pet owners look out for when they're checking their pet's mouth, which might indicate that their pet does have a serious dental issue?
So definitely if you see any kind of discoloration. So very similar to humans, you know, dental disease starts with just a build-up of tartar. So if you do see this kind of yellow, browny staining on the teeth, that's usually a sign that they're starting to get dirty and their tartar starting to build up. Any kind of redness of the gums, so especially if you're checking regularly, you should be able to recognize what their normal gum color does look like. And then if they're starting to look a bit pinker or redder than normal, that's another sign of possible dental disease. And then definitely any smells or, you know, bad breath, which is often what people do notice and often what makes them come to the vet.
Excellent. Yeah, I've got a dog with bad breath, funnily enough. So do these signs differ much between dogs and cats, or is it pretty much the same thing you're looking for both?
Quite similar. I think cats sometimes do hide it a little bit more so than dogs. So you really have to kind of be having a good look or looking out for very subtle signs. So, you know, they with going off certain foods, you know, starting to eat only soft food instead of their dry and soft food is another little indication. But in terms of what the teeth and gums look like, it's very similar.
Now, We've had a look. We've just had a bit of a chat about the types of things that pet owners need to look out for. But are there ways that pet owners perhaps could do anything to look after their pets' teeth to kind of minimise those issues forming in the long term?
Definitely, definitely. And in fact, you know, prevention is so much better than having to treat the dental disease. So at home, feeding them a good quality dry food, especially, really does help, because that dry food helps to scrape off any of that excess tartar that starts to build over time. There are dental foods available on the market as well. So if, especially if you know your animal is prone to dental disease or has had dental problems in the past, a dental food might be a good option for them. And then there's definitely the dental treats as well, sold at, you know, vet clinics and pet stores. And there, you can brush your animal's teeth. That's definitely not an option for everyone, depending on if their animal is used to it and will allow them to do so. But that is definitely another option. And then probably the last thing that, again, very much depends on your individual animal, is giving them bones. So some animals aren't very good with bones. You know, they tend to bury them or try and swallow them, things like that. And in that case, you should just avoid them altogether, or if they give your animal constipation. But some animals are quite good with bones. And in those cases, by all means, you know, giving them a little bit of raw bones, should always be raw, weekly, does definitely help with dental disease.
Well, yeah, I'm a fan of chicken necks. Mine eat a chicken neck every morning. But you mentioned brushing their teeth. I quite like that idea. How often should we do that if we chose that as one of our options?
I think, look, really, if your animal's amazing and it's not affecting your relationship with them and you can get away with daily, that would be incredible. But even if you can do it weekly, that will make a difference.
Fantastic. Now, Elle, do you mind sticking around for a bit longer to have a chat to us about major and minor dental procedures, perhaps, that you see at Frank Samways?
Sure, not a problem.
Thanks. Now, like us, maintaining good dental care for our pets is essential. A minor issue left untreated can turn into something more severe in the long term. Up next, as we just heard, we're continuing our chat with Dr. Elle Latch about some of the more severe dental concerns your pet can encounter.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, August is Dental Health Month, and on today's show, we are talking about what you can do to make sure that your pet has healthy teeth all year round.
At the moment, we've been joined by Frank Samways, from Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Vet Elle Latch, who is talking to us about what we can do to maintain our pets' healthy teeth. So, Elle, thanks for staying on the line. And maybe if you could talk us through what are some of the most common dental health issues that you see amongst cats and dogs.
So generally with dental disease in cats and dogs, you often find there's just an excessive amount of this tartar or plaque developing. And unfortunately, this tartar and plaque does then start to develop bacteria. And this big bacteria can cause decay in the teeth, can cause the teeth to slowly rot. And then it also definitely starts to affect the gum line as well, so causing gingivitis and loosening of the teeth and things like that.
There you go. So as our pets get older, there's a lot of what you can read about. They do say that they have a greater risk of developing more severe oral conditions than younger animals. Is that the case?
Yeah, generally so. I guess there's a couple of factors involved. Sometimes when animals age, they do tend to chew less. So if they do have any sensitivities or have had previous teeth removed or just, you know, teeth that have maybe worn down, they tend to chew less, and that definitely does affect how dirty their teeth get, because the more they chew, the better. And then generally as well, as time goes on, that definitely increases dental disease, because with this tartar, the more it accumulates, the more dental disease it causes. So as you can imagine, as the animal ages, they tend to get a higher accumulation.
And do you think that some of the indicators that we talked about previously, would they be more obvious in an older animal, or do you think they'd try and hide it a little bit to kind of mask the fact that there's something more severe?
Sure. Yeah, they definitely can sometimes. But I guess it all depends on how vigilant you are and how much you monitor your animal. because, like I said, there are definitely signs. So if you're there and you're looking, you should be able to spot them. And also, you know, if you're really in tune with what is normal for your animal and what kind of foods they usually eat and how they usually chew, then you should be able to spot the changes fairly early. Especially, like I said, you know, the more obvious things like just avoiding hard foods and avoiding bones and things like that is can in itself be an indicator that something's a bit sensitive and something's starting to affect them.
Okay, so there's two types of dental surgery that your pet can go through if they have got some dental problems. They might need major dental or it might be minor dental. Could you just tell us a bit about what would classify as just minor dental surgery? What sort of things might be involved in the procedure?
Sure. So with a minor one, minor dental really is usually just a clean-up. So it means that we've recognized the animal starting to get this build-up of excess tartar and we can see that it's going to soon cause problems for the animal. So we get in there and we do a scale and polish, really similar to humans. However, in the case of veterinary, we do have to do a full general anesthetic because, as you can imagine, most animals would not tolerate us cleaning up their teeth. And so in minor dentals, you generally have no extractions or maybe just a couple of really minor extractions. And so it tends to be a much quicker and easier dental. And it, like I said, it's almost more preventative because you try and clean up the teeth so the tartar doesn't keep developing and doesn't cause any problems to the teeth that it's developing on.
So what type of procedures then would classify as a major oral surgery compared to, you know, a scale and a clean that's done during a more minor procedure?
So a major one is when the animal has had dental disease for probably a little bit longer and we haven't had that opportunity to clean them up before the teeth underneath have started to get developed, affected and before the gingivitis has developed and the teeth have loosened and whatnot. So it does involve usually more extractions and maybe a few major extractions. We generally always say that they're definitely better out than in. So any affected teeth definitely do need to come out because they would be causing the animal discomfort. So it's still definitely a great thing to do. It's just unfortunately in those cases, you know, it's usually a longer procedure. Sometimes there are even, you know, the gum might even need to be cut a little bit and sutures put in. But you do find the animal always does recover very well from both procedures. It's just a major one. They're usually left with maybe a few less teeth.
not nice. So I understand the oral surgery is actually a very common procedure at Frank Sanway. So I guess that once they're back on normal food, the main difference we can make is to then do all those things you've talked to us about, Elle, and keep them on track so they don't have to come into you again.
Exactly. Yeah,
so. Wonderful. Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us on Pets Allowed today. I'm sure you've helped a lot of people. And of course, if they have got any concerns, people can book their cats or dogs in to visit you at the vet clinic. Thanks,
definitely.
Elle.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, so August, as we said, is Pet Dental Health Month, and until the 31st of August, the Frank Sanway's Veterinary Clinic is offering free dental health checks for all cats and dogs. Now, we only have limited places available, so bookings are essential. If you're interested in taking up the offer, you can make a booking by calling the Frank Sanway's Veterinary Clinic on 03 9329 2755 or by visiting the clinic in person at number 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne.
Now, our cats and dogs aren't the only animals that need regular dental checks. It's important for us to check the teeth of every furry family member we have. Up next, we're going to hear about some tips about caring for the teeth of rabbits and guinea pigs. You are listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Do you have a passion for sales and our community?
Are you looking for a job in the media?
Joy 94.9 survives on the support we get from our members and sponsorship advertising clients, and we're looking for the perfect fit to join our sponsorship team.
You'll need experience in media sales and customer service.
As a Joy sponsorship sales account manager, you'll be representing Australia's only LGBTI community radio station, selling sponsorships sponsorship packages to new and existing Joy clients.
You'll develop lasting business relationships, execute multifaceted campaigns on air and online, and generate revenue by meeting sales targets to keep Joy on the air.
For a full job description, go to joy.org.au or email your expressions of interest to gm@joy.org.au today.
Throughout today's show, we are taking the dental mirror and having a look at our pet's oral health.
It isn't just our cats and dogs' teeth that need looking after. It's just as important for us to look after the oral health of smaller companion animals as well. Last year, Kevin spoke to veterinarian Dr. Lizzie Goldstraw about how the owners of smaller animals, like rabbits and guinea pigs, make sure that their pets' teeth remain in tip-top condition.
I'm joined on the line by Dr. Lizzie Goldstraw, who is a vet at Montrose Vets, but she's a small animal vet with a keen interest in rabbits and guinea pigs and does a lot of work with Animal Aid in Coldstream. Now, Lizzie, would it be correct to say that the most common health problem with especially rabbits is dental-related?
Hi, Kevin. Yes, it certainly would be. Teeth are one of the biggest problems that rabbits and guinea pigs have, rabbits especially. I think one of the coolest things about rabbits and guinea pigs is that their teeth are growing all the time, and that means that they need wearing down regularly, and they need a lot of help with that to make sure that they're kept nice and healthy.
So what are some of the health implications that we can see if someone is neglecting to maintain good oral health for the rabbits or guinea pigs?
Well, one of the challenges with rabbits and guinea pigs is sometimes it's hard to know when they're unwell. They're a prey species, so that means that if they are scared or if they're feeling unwell, they pretend to be as healthy as possible. So they try and hide it as much as they can. But some of the things that you might see, particularly, well, for rabbits and guinea pigs, is you might see that they aren't eating as much. They might not want to eat the same things as usual. They might be a bit picky. They might slobber a little bit, or you might even notice some swelling around their face. So it can be lots of little things. But I think one of the biggest things for people to watch out with their rabbits and guinea pigs is if they stop or if they slow down their eating. Really, really important to watch out for. And when you're cleaning out the hutch, a nice regular clean out's always good, but you might notice a difference in the way that their little fecal pellets look as well.
So what are some of the main dental diseases or disorders that you might see with a rabbit or a guinea pig?
Well, we were saying that rabbits and guinea pigs' teeth grow all the time, and they do that because they eat food which is quite hard. So hay and grass, which would be the normal diet of rabbits and guinea pigs, that causes a lot of wear and tear on teeth. So they need to grow all the time and they need to wear down normally. Now, if for some reason their teeth don't wear normally, and I guess that can be for two main reasons. If your teeth aren't quite put together properly, and most of us have had braces at some point or needed some dental work, well, rabbits and guinea pigs can sometimes be the same. So they can be born with teeth that don't quite match, and that means they don't wear properly. So it can be something that they're born with, something that's genetic. But one of the ones that we can do an awful lot about is related to their diet. So if a rabbit or a guinea pig isn't eating the correct diet, their teeth don't wear properly and their teeth overgrow. And that's the main one that we can really help prevent and do something about. In those cases, we might get an abscess, so an infection around the tooth. We might get a tooth growing extra long and causing cuts and sores on the inside of the mouth. So those are the things that we might sort of find and see as a presentation of dental disease.
Dr. Lizzie, what would be your top tips in maintaining the pearly whites and all-round oral health for rabbits and guinea pigs?
Well, Kevin, this is where I get to talk an awful lot about hay. Hay is the most important thing for rabbits and guinea pigs to keep their teeth nice and healthy. We know they need to wear down regularly because they grow so much, and hay is really nice and hard, and that's what allows those teeth to stay nice and healthy. So hay is the main part of their diet, and it's got to be really good quality grass hay, something that smells like a nice spring day, and you want a really lovely good quality food that they're happy to eat. It's really tempting to feed rabbits and guinea pigs things that are really tasty for them, that they really enjoy, things like carrots. We all think about rabbits and carrots, or even rabbit mixes and so on. They're really tasty for them. They're really nice and yummy, but they don't give us that same chewing action and that same teeth wear as a really good quality diet. So what we'd recommend is lots and lots of hay, some leafy green veggies, and really small amounts of treats, things like carrots and apples and so on, in very small amounts. Second tip on the list is going to be finding yourself a good rabbity vet, someone who really enjoys seeing them, because they'll be able to help you with advice and help you with, you know, if you're needing to change a diet or anything like that. I know we said earlier that it's really important to make sure that if they slow down their eating at all, that's a sign of dental disease. Well, if that's happening, it's really, really important to get them straight down to a vet and to get them checked out and make sure there aren't any problems. So your top tips are make sure that diet is right, and if you're not sure, find someone who can give you that information and help you change the diet slowly. Slowly, slowly is the key. And make sure you find yourself a good bunny vet or a guinea pig vet who can help you keep an eye on those teeth.
That was Dr. Lizzie Goldstraw talking about how guinea pig and rabbit owners can take care of their furry companion's teeth.
So you're looking to start up a regular brushing routine with your canine companion, but you're not sure where to start with doing that routine. Up next, we're going to give you some tips on how to best brush your dog's teeth. This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. Brushing your dog's teeth isn't just about fresh breath. It's actually an important part of oral care, which Dr. L. Latch touched on very briefly before. And good oral care for your pet is actually really important for their overall health. Although most people aren't aware of it, periodontal or gum disease is actually a common and quite serious problem in dogs, yet brushing your dog's teeth can actually minimize the chance of your pet developing that in the longer term.
Exactly. Periodontal disease is irreversible, sadly. So now is the appropriate time to get started on regular oral care regime for your dog or cat, of course. Prevention is the key to keep them healthy and happy. So when should you brush your dog's teeth?
It's ideal to brush your dog's teeth daily, just as you would brush your own. However, if your schedule doesn't allow that, aim to brush your dog's teeth at least a few times a week. So this is the very sort of optimal top dog care tip. So, you know, don't beat yourself up too much if your schedule prohibits you from doing that, because there are other ways that you can do that, as you know, maintain that good oral health as well. Now, smaller dogs or dogs with flat or short broad snouts like pugs and bulldogs actually might need more frequent brushing, because the way that their teeth are crowded together does allow for more plaque to develop and does actually increase their chance of developing gum disease in the long term.
Okay, so to brush your dog's teeth, you'll need a toothbrush, obviously, or some gauze will do the job just as well, and some dog-specific toothpaste, which you can get from your vets and from pet stores.
After you've collected your supplies, the gauze, the toothpaste, etc., take your dog to a quiet, calm area. You might need to keep your dog on a lead to limit their movement during the brushing session. If you do, tie the lead to a piece of furniture in order to keep your hands free. It is okay to keep the lead a little bit shorter, but not too short. Make sure there's enough slack in it so that your dog can actually be comfortable while you go through the process of cleaning their teeth. And here are some steps that you can follow when brushing their teeth.
So step one, little bit here, start by putting some toothpaste on the brush or gauze, of course. Place one hand on the top of your dog's muzzle and gently lift his lips. With the other hand, brush or rub a few teeth. Your dog at this stage can keep his jaws closed, and you just need to focus on cleaning the outer surfaces of his teeth and gums. After just 2 or 3 seconds of brushing, stop, release your dog's muzzle, and if he did a really good job of holding still while you brushed, give him a reward, and then you can end the brushing session.
So step two is to basically repeat step one, two, or three times a day for 1 to 2 weeks. Each day, slowly increase the time you spend brushing your dog's teeth. So this is to introduce that process to your dog. Start with 3 seconds or so, and then next day try 5, the next day try 8, and so on. So eventually, you'll be able to brush the outer surfaces of your dog's teeth during a single session.
Step three, when your dog seems comfortable with you brushing his teeth while his jaws are closed, you can start to open his mouth. So just gently place one hand over the top of your dog's muzzle and open his mouth just like you practiced before. With the other hand, reach into your dog's mouth with the brush. Brush a few teeth just for a couple of seconds. Then release your dog's muzzle, praise him and feed him a treat. Repeat 3 to 5 times for about 3 days. Try to practice a couple of times a day if you can.
And then the last step, by the time you get to step four, you can start alternating between brushing the outer and inner surfaces of your dog's teeth during brushing sessions. So much talk about mouth care and it's just really difficult to chat today. It's best to keep brushing session short, so aim for no more than 5 minutes. But if you can, like we said before, brush daily if possible. And remember to continue to reward your dog with treats or their favorite game after you brush their teeth. If you do, they'll come to really enjoy the sessions because good things always happen afterwards.
But if your dog is struggling during the brushing, gently but firmly hold his muzzle. As soon as he stops struggling and holds still for just 1 second, release his muzzle. You may have just gone a little bit too fast for him, so try and make the sessions a little bit shorter until he's comfortable again.
So brushing your dog's teeth on a regular basis is a great way to minimize their chance of developing more serious oral conditions down the track. And if you are wanting more information or a little bit of a slower step-by-step guide, definitely check out the website. The ASPCA is a great option. They have a really good step-by-step guide that you can follow in order to maintain good dental care for your teeth. So, want to know the events happening this weekend and which events are about pets or pet friendly? Well, stay tuned. Up next, we are going to be chatting on dog dates.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
We are getting close to the end of the show now, and Kristen, you're going to update us with the dog dates for this week.
Yep. So as we mentioned earlier, August is Pet Dental Health Month, and to mark this occasion, until the 31st of August, the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Vet Clinic will be offering free dental health checks for cats and dogs, and you will also get a free goodie bag with goodies for your pets. Places are limited, so bookings are essential. To secure your place, please phone the Frank Samways Vet Clinic on 03 9329 2755 or visit at 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne.
Now, before we get to a recap on Pet of the Week, we did get an SMS from Greg who did ask us what the average cost for teeth scaling and cleaning was. Now, for teeth scaling and cleaning at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, you're looking at a starting price of about $400, but you can check that with your vet as well. So thanks for that great question, Greg, and I hope that that information actually helped you out. So Kristen, do you want to give us a bit of a recap on the Pet of the Week?
Yep. So this week's Pet of the Week is Ralph, a gorgeous Labrador cross who is almost 5 years old, very sweet and full of potential. He is up for adoption at the Lost Dogs Home North Melbourne shelter. His ID is 949749, and you can learn more about him at dogshome.com.
Now, if you did miss anything on today's show, Sharon and Kristen, thank you so much for coming into the studio today.
Thank you for having us.
Now, always remember to walk your dogs
and pet your cat.
This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.